It's time now for Sunday morning prayer time with Reverend Ed Lankford. Address correspondence to P.O. Box 991, Wilkesboro, North Carolina, 28697.
Good morning, friends, and thank you for joining me today for Sunday morning prayer time. My message today is about five barley loaves and two small fishes, and what happens when you put that little meal in somebody's hands that can do something great, something miraculous. You can go down here to Walmart and you can buy a basketball, and you can bring it back to me and put it in my hands. And I used to be pretty good in basketball. I'm not much good anymore. But mostly in my hands, it would be worthless. You can take that same basketball and you can put it in the hands of LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or 100 other different players. And in their hands, it's worth millions. Why? Because it's whose hands that basketball is in. Same thing applies to a football. In my hands, it would probably be worthless. I couldn't throw it very far. But if you put it in the hands of Brett Favre or Tom Brady or one of the great quarterbacks that there are, it's worth millions. The difference is, I hope that you can see, is whose hands it is in. If you put five barley loaves and two small fishes in my hands, all I can do is make a fish sandwich out of it. But if you put that in the hands of Jesus, he fed 5,000 men, 5,000 women, plus the children that were there. All because it's whose hands something is in. I want to read from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, one of his disciples, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may all eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself, Jesus, knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." But then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples unto them that were sat down, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Take up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled them baskets up with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then these men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." One of the greatest things that I like to proclaim in my ministry is that Jesus is a miracle-working God, and that in his hands, cancer can be cured. In his hands, diabetes can be cured. In his hands, he can heal you. He can save you. He can set you free. He can do whatever you need done in your life, because it's whose hands it's in. So place yourself today in the hands of Jesus and say, "Jesus, I want you to take care of me. Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I want you to be everything that there is in my life. I want my life to be encompassed around you, and then I might find you, the miracle-working God." I love this story. It's about a boy's lunch and about a miracle-working Savior. I love it because it just shows what my God can do. And that if he could feed the multitude way back then, don't you think he can feed you today? Excuse me, it's allergy season and I'm so sorry. If he could do miracles for them, how much more, God wanted me to tell you today, can he not do miracles for you? And let me just ask you something. Is there anything that your God cannot do? No, sir. God can do everything. This crowd had gathered around to hear Jesus preach. They had seen the miracles that he had done on those that were sick, and they followed him. And he went out into a great place where there was a lot of green grass, like a pasture. And he began to sit there with his disciples and to talk and to preach. The most important thing in this lesson is that before Jesus fed them physically, he gave them the word of life. For it is the word of life, it is the Bible, it is the words of God that make the difference in my life and in your life. If you don't believe me, try going without reading the Bible for a while and see what difference it'll make in your life. The Bible is the living word. It is the food when we are hungry and the water when we are thirsty. It is the light to guide us when we are lost. It is everything to show us that there is a God in heaven and how much God loves us and how much God died for us and that my God can do anything and my God can do everything and there's nothing that my God won't do for you according to His will for your life. After they had received the living word, Jesus looked out and realized that they'd been there all day and that these men and women and children were hungry and He wanted to feed them. He did not want to send them away empty-handed or their stomachs empty because they could have fainted on the way back before they got any parchment to eat. That's the way Jesus is, you know. He loves us. He cares about us. He cares about everything in our lives. And so Jesus asked His disciples, what are we going to do? He didn't ask Philip this because he needed advice. He asked Philip this to see the measure of faith in Philip's heart. Because as the scripture says in one of the favorite lines from this passage, Jesus already knew what He was going to do. Sometimes in our lives, Jesus asks us questions. Or, what are you going to do next? What are you planning on? What do you think? How is your faith? He asks us that not to get advice from us on how to do things in our lives, but to see what measure of faith that we have. And the Bible tells us in several places that according to the measure of faith will be according to what we receive. Because you see, Jesus already knows what He's going to do in your life. Oh, glory to God. Well, glory to God. Well, glory to God. That hit a nerve. That hit a spark. I don't know, as you've heard me say many times, about tomorrow. I don't even know about today. All I know is yesterday's gone and it can never be changed. But I do know that I don't have to know about tomorrow. I just have to know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what good things God has planned for me. I don't know the blessings that are coming my way, but I do know that my life is in the hand of an awesome God, and that my God can do anything, and that in Jeremiah it tells us that God has thoughts of us, and His thoughts are good, that He might bless us. It's the devil who wants to destroy us and to put us down. But as long as I stay content to be in the hands of God, because my title of my message is In His Hands. Every time I try to work it out myself, I make a mess. But once I leave it up to God, and I take my burden to the Lord, and I leave it there, leave it there, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. God just wanted me to ask somebody, have you got a loved one that's lost and they're straying in sin and they're dangling awful close to eternity and being lost forever in a devil's hell? Take that soul to the Lord and put him in God's hands. Now you do your part when you say, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I bravely do my part to win that soul for you. So you do your part and you take that soul to Jesus. and you see if Jesus won't do things for you. Another one of Jesus' disciples was there by the name of Andrew. I've always been amazed at Andrew because, according to the scripture, Andrew was the first disciple to follow the Lord. And every time that you see Andrew's name in the Word of God, it always has this next, that he was Simon Peter's brother. Andrew went and found Simon Peter and said they had found the Messiah. And Andrew was a soul winner and won Simon Peter to the Lord. And Simon Peter became the one that went to the front. And Andrew is always addressed as being Simon Peter's brother. Well, it doesn't matter, does it, how we are dressed? All that matters is that we find people and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this great event, this great preaching service, this great healing service that Jesus had, Andrew had taken the time to find a little boy. Andrew was interested in the children. And he said to Jesus, "There's a little boy here, and he has 5 barley loaves, and he has 2 small fishes. But what is that little bit amount to compare to the need?" Jesus knew that little is much when God is in it. First of all, Andrew found a little boy, and he had taken time to communicate with him because he knew exactly how many loaves and fishes he had. And that was his lunch his mother had prepared for him that day. Then the little boy had to be willing to give up his lunch to the Lord Jesus Christ, which he gladly did. And he took that little bit of loaves and fishes. Let me say it again. In my hands, it would only be a fish sandwich. In everybody else's hands, that's about all we could make out of it. But in the hands of Jesus, he took a little boy's lunch and he fed 5,000 men, 5,000 women, and the children that were there, about 12,000 on this particular day. And don't you imagine that that loaves and that fish that the thousands, the multitude ate, was the best tasting fish fillet sandwich ever? Because Jesus had blessed it, and Jesus made a difference, and Jesus is a miracle working God. There's a miracle in the making, one just for you. The Father's working even now. So don't you ever give up, because help is on the way. And if you give up today, what good is the help going to be that comes tomorrow? So you trust in God, and you put your 5 barley loaves and your 2 small fishes in the hands of God. You put your sickness in the hands of God. You put your lost loved ones in the hands of God. You put your children in the hands of God. You put your financial situation in the hands of God. You put your needs in the hands of God. And in the hands of God, God will make a difference. Oh, yes, He will. It's amazing, this miracle. Started out with just a little bit. After the miracle was over, Jesus said to the 12 disciples, "You go gather up the fragments that's left so that nothing will be lost." And they did. 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And I know somebody might be saying, "Well, There's 12 disciples and 12 baskets, so there was a basket for each one of those disciples. But no, that's not how it worked. Who was it that originally gave the little meal as a little boy? Can you imagine the look on that little boy's mother's face when she saw him walking home, and behind him was 12 grown men with 12 baskets full of loaves in their hands? You see, the little boy gave the lunch, and Simon Peter didn't get the leftover. The little boy gave the lunch, and the little boy got the leftover. And God just wanted me to tell you that in his hands, there is leftovers. Sometimes the leftovers are the best meal. After Thanksgiving, the leftover turkey, leftover ham, the leftovers are the best things. And God's got a plenty of leftovers for you. God wanted me to tell you, His bank's not busted yet. God still knows how to provide. God wanted me to tell you, His grocery store has not been emptied yet. God can still supply. God wanted me to tell you, His love and His mercy has not been exhausted yet. Because God still loves the sinners and the children that are lost. It all makes a difference in the hands of whomever it is. Remember that basketball? Remember that football? Remember that fish sandwich that I would have ate? Put them in the hands of Jesus, and He can do something with them. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folk?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two, going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet, as a caroling angel would sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with the voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now, what am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, cried he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not understand. What changed the worth?" Quick came the reply, "The touch of the Master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the Master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change it's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. Let the Master touch you today. In His hands, He does miracles. In His hands, there is an abundance. Is there anything that your God cannot do for you today, little lady in the rest home? No, sir. Well, you just go right ahead right now and praise Him right now. And lift up your hands and thank Him. He knows where you are. He knows what you have need of. And in His hands, in the hands of the Master, oh, what a touch. Oh, what a touch of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning Prayer Time with the Reverend Ed Lankford. Address correspondence to Reverend Ed Lankford, P.O. Box 991, Wilkesboro, North Carolina, 28697.
Be sure and join us next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday Morning Prayer Time.